morning by singing hymn number 14. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Can we stand to sing number 14?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul?
Savior of sinners. We thank Thee, our God and Father, for that great love that caused Thee to give Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evening, as we're gathered together here, we just pray that Thou wilt impress upon the hearts of each one of us, particularly the speaker, the preciousness of the blood of the Lamb, and to be washed in that blood which was shed to cleanse sinners from their lost condition, from their sins. Lord Jesus, we just pray that there would be the realization and recognition that those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ are on the broad road that leads to destruction. We pray this evening that there will be a response to that message, not because of the individual speaking, but Lord Jesus, that Thou will move through the Holy Spirit in the hearts of any that are not saved, that the speaker would be simply a vessel, a channel from Thyself, Lord Jesus. We pray Thee that Thou will bless Thy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to sing another song. Perhaps one on the back page, one for the children, that's it. I'd like to sing. Number 41, just two verses, the first and the last verse. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems bring, singing glory. Glory, glory be to God on high. Number 41, the first and last verses only.
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing.
many here this evening who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I don't know every one of you, but as I look over the audience, I know there are many here that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and have confessed to me, like I sometimes do. I stopped a few of the young ladies in the hallway, young people, and I said, "Do you think there's anybody here that's not saved?" Do you know what they said? "I really don't know." I stopped and talked to a couple of young brothers who told me that they were saved. And I asked them the same question, and they thought about it. They said, "Not sure, but probably." So we're here tonight for one purpose, to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. And there's an interesting story that I've always enjoyed. Maybe I've told it too often, but I'd like to read in 2 Kings chapter 5 about a guy who had the title of Major General. I'm taking some liberties when I say that, but we'll call him Major General Naaman. Let's start reading in the 5th chapter of 2 Kings, verse 1. "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus saith the maid that is in the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with him, with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' Now Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant came near and spoke unto him and said, 'My father, if a prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much wilder then when he saith to thee, "Wash and be clean"? Then went he down again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." We'll stop there. You know, there's a number of figures and personalities mentioned in this portion that we've read, and the first one is Naaman. Naaman socially was a great man. Officially, he was very successful, and personally, he was brave. All sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds very good. That's what we want to see in the world. We're looking for people like that. Ah, there's a hooker here. Really, he was a leper. He was a sinner. God's word tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There isn't one young person, one older one, one child who is not a sinner. I'm a sinner. I can tell you that I'm a sinner saved by grace. I was saved about 70 years ago. That's a long time ago. I was afraid of what was coming. But the Lord Jesus in His mercy saved me. I was brought up in a Christian home, so I knew a few things about the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew that sin was bad. And then I found out that I needed to do something about it. And that's what we're here about tonight. What are you going to do about your sins? It's been established in God's Word that all have sinned. There is none righteous. No, not one. All have sinned. What are you going to do about it? You need forgiveness. I'll tell you a little story. A year or so ago, a young man and his son, and my wife and I were having dinner with this couple. And this young man said to me, "Would you excuse me? My son and I are going to meet a lawyer, my lawyer, as a matter of fact," he said, "and his son, and we're going to have some time together." The lawyer was a Christian too. Well, they left, and they said, "Sure, that's fine." About 10 minutes in the back. And this young man's son came back to the dining room table, and he was weeping. He put his head down on the table, and he wept. He wept. My son was pale as a sheet of paper. I said, "What's the matter?" Well, he said, "We went out there, we were going to meet him, and they weren't there. So I phoned the home. And the son that was supposed to come with them was on the phone crying too. Two of them were crying." He said, "We can't come. My daddy was just killed in a car accident." Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheep in time. This lawyer was great, well known, he was successful, he was brave. I didn't go to the funeral, but I got a tape of the funeral. There was one young man going up to speak at the funeral, and he spoke about this lawyer. And he said, "I want to tell you something very interesting about this man." He said, "You know, my wife and I were expecting our first child. It was discovered that they were twins. And they were taken to the hospital, the normal delivery, everything seemed to be okay. And then something happened. They both died because of a mistake." He said, "I went to this lawyer that's lying in this casket today. And I said, I want you to go out to the hospital and each of the doctors that were responsible, and I want you to take them to the cleaners. Everything they've got." This man, he said, "I saw him lean back in his chair, his thoughts. Didn't say anything for a few minutes. And then he said, very quietly, 'Do you think you could forgive? Do you think you could forgive?' I haven't seen too many lawyers, and I've seen quite a few of them, who wouldn't give that kind of advice. He put the clock on. There's money involved. But he said, 'Do you think you could forgive?' My friend, you know what sins you've committed in your lifetime. And you may not forgive yourself for these sins. You may be going on and sin right at this moment. Your thoughts may be somewhere else. But there's someone who can forgive those sins. And since you're a sinner, you need forgiveness." Here was this man, Naaman. He had all the qualities that a successful man could have in this world. But then it tells us in the second verse that there was a little maid. Here the army had gone in. Doesn't tell us anything about men or women or property that they seized in this war. But all it says here, they took captivity of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. She had no credentials. She had no name, or at least we're not given her name. She had no home, no family, no money, no record. She was a no-name little maid. It says, there's one thing she did have. She knew the Lord. And I know that I could go down these rows here and ask you whether you know the Lord, and I'm sure that most of you would say yes. I wonder if some of you might say yes just to keep my mouth shut and not say anything more. I've had it happen in a gospel meeting where I've met somebody coming out the door, say, do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, I do. I accept Him as my Savior. And another one says, have you? And I think, well, yes. And I've had another say, I don't know what that means. And you know whether you're saved tonight. And if you're not saved, you're in a very, very dangerous position. Very precarious. But you know, there's a Savior in the glory. He's looking down tonight. He sees your heart. And He knows whether you are ready to admit that you're a sinner and that you need the Savior. We have about 45 minutes. I don't want you to wait 45 minutes before accepting Jesus as your Savior. I want to tell you how you can do it. God's Word tells us, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, thou shalt be saved. Did you do that? Well, you may say, I should go back to my room maybe. No. You don't have to do that. That's not a good plan. Do it right now. Accept Jesus as Savior. If you feel the Holy Spirit working in your heart, turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. She knew the Lord. When my wife and I were flying out yesterday, we were sitting. I have a habit. I like to get to the airport at least an hour, a couple hours ahead of time, but an hour, so that I can sit down and watch the people rush by and sit down and enjoy a quiet cup of coffee while people are messing around. Well, anyway, there were three people that were being called by the agent that they were to report right away. And they gave warning after warning after warning. And I saw the agent just looking around the crowd, sitting in the Toronto airport. And he didn't come. Finally, I could see him say, we got to go. The next thing I knew, I was looking at the window, and they were shutting the door of the aircraft. They don't have a tunnel for this one. They were sitting outside so we could clearly see it. And the doors were shut, the plane started up, and the young lady came rushing up. The agent says, sorry, it's too late. It's too late. I would hate to see you tonight in a situation where you leave this room and perhaps never get to your destination and to find it was too late. It's too late. Too late. Well, but another 5 minutes went by and two guys came rushing up. You know, and started to argue. What are you going to do? Plane's taken off. Arguments won't work. My friend, if you're arguing tonight that you're pretty good, think again. There is none righteous. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. These fellows, one of them at least, I believe, is arguing. Too late. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. Did you know that? We'll talk about that in just a second, a little more. Then it says in the fourth verse that one heard that, or saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. What does she say? Verse 3. Would God my Lord were with a prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. What a beautiful gospel message that was. She was a little evangelist.
She was a little evangelist.
She knew the Lord Jesus. And I would like to think that she was taught this by her mother and dad, who were no longer in the picture.
She knew about this and she was concerned. Before this gospel meeting, there were about 12 or 13 of us in the little room off to the side that was reserved for us to pray. You know, I wish each one of you could have heard what was said. There were prayers going up for you. Are you listening tonight, my friend? Young person, older place, are you listening?
There were prayers going up, and we get promises that there would be prayers continuing throughout this meeting.
They're for you.
We were sitting down having a meal, another brother and myself, with our wives. It was an older lady sitting at the table. And she doesn't know the Lord as a Savior.
So we said, you know, we'd like to see you in heaven with us. It's so nice to be with you to have a meal, but we'd like to see you in heaven.
She said, oh, that'd be boring. The other brother said, well, you want to go to the other place?
There's only two places. God's Word, on the authority of God's Word, there's only two places. There's no in-between place.
That is a story of the devil. You would like to say, oh, that's not true. That's not going to be. Don't listen to that. Listen to God's Word. This Word is the truth. It's God's Word, and He speaks through His Word to you. And I trust that the channel that's presenting this is a clean channel and will present that very thing. Well, you know, that person is older. Still is not saved. But an interesting thing happened. You know, she was in the grocery store. Oh, and she told her. I should mention this. She told her, will you guys stop praying for me? She was in the grocery store picking up some groceries and said something to the lady behind her. And the lady said, well, the Lord has given us such a wonderful day.
Will you stop that? Will you stop that?
Oh, I said to this brother, isn't that nice that this happened? She was angry. Ah, you're getting to her. You're getting to her. The Lord's working in her heart. Now, is there somebody here that's struggling and saying, no, I don't want that. I've heard that many times. But just hearing it isn't enough. Well, in the fifth verse, we were noticing the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment.
Here was a very important man. He said, I'll send you a letter. You know, if I could send you a letter to guarantee that you'd be saved, I would be delighted to do that.
My letter is not going to save you, but there is a letter here that will save. The solution is there. The prescription is there. And so this man said, I'm going to send you a letter. You know, my wife and I just celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary in June, and something very interesting happened. As our children were gathered together and our grandchildren who were with us this occasion, he presented me with a gift. A framed certificate from our Prime Minister, Mr. Harper.
What a thrill! What a thrill! But you know, it doesn't matter how many letters Mr. Harper sent to you or to me or to anyone else,
that will not save you. I would add, though, that he is a Christian. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to have somebody in power that's a Christian. But we won't get into that part of it.
Here there was a support for this man. There was a favor that was going to be extended. And you know, we read in Matthew about two judges that were standing and trying to figure out what they would do with Jesus. And you know, they couldn't do anything about it.
But they knew something. It tells us there was for envy.
For envy that they brought him in here.
Because the testimony that was given indicated there was nothing wrong with this man
Jesus,
J-E-S-U-S. The thief on the cross said, when he was converted, "This man has done nothing amiss or wrong." The centurion said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Oh, there's much testimony to that. And you know, the judges knew it too. They knew it too, but they decided that what they were going to do, they were going to compromise and please the people. You know, that's what's happening today. Unfortunately, that happens at every level of life, and particularly in politics. There's a desire to suit a certain number of people that will bring in votes. But anyway, what happened? It said there was, it's interesting what they all brought out there. The fifth verse, it mentions that he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. Some of you people who are good with figures could tell me how much that's worth. It'd be a lot of money when you think of all that gold and the price of gold today. You know, it reminds me of the Ten Commandments. Here there were 10 talents of silver. I can well recall a man in our office saying years ago, said, "Well, you know, Norm, I keep the commandments." "Oh," I said, "is that right? You sure?" "Yeah, yeah." So I said, "Well, there's one there that you probably haven't kept," and I quoted it. And he said, "Well, maybe one, maybe two." I said, "No, it tells us in God's Word, yeah, that if you offend in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing." One point. You have many sins, I have many sins, but if you have only one sin, Jesus had to die. And so he died for sinners. He died for me, he died for you, and here they were bringing all this, these gifts. 10 changes of clothes. God's Word tells us all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And I was thinking this evening, as reading this account in Isaiah 55 and 1. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money," without Christ. Without money, without Christ, eternal life. Is there a cost connected with that? Yes, there is. A great cost. It cost God His Son. You know, in the Garden of Eden, the story we all know so well, man and woman disobeyed God. Very simple thing that they were told not to do. There was one tree in that garden that they were not to eat from. What did they do? They ate it. They ate it. God had to cast them out of the Garden of Eden because they disobeyed. They said, "Big deal." Big deal. They were disobeying God. That is a big deal. Disobey God, and you continue to disobey God, and you pass into eternity, you'll find out just what big a deal it is. Because God, as a judge, will have to say to you, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." I never knew you. There's a lot of people that may say, "Well, I know about it." Yeah, you may know about it. In this great, wonderful country of ours, Canada, a lot of people don't know about Jesus. But you know, we have a Sunday school in a very difficult part of the city of Hamilton. And you know, there's poor kids there. They hardly know who their dad is. Sometimes don't know who their mother is. They come to Sunday school because they like the attention, but it's more than that. Suddenly, the name Jesus has some meaning. Suddenly they realize that they need to be saved. Suddenly they realize that there are those that love them. And so some of them come to know Jesus as Savior. Many years ago in this little hall that has been there for probably 85 years, he came running up the stairs and said, "Mr. Hebert,
The angels are having a party for me tonight. He knew what parties were all about, you know. He was saved. His name was Bryce. I hadn't seen him for years. He was saved. He came out of the dregs and out of the grime and out of the dust and the multitude of sins, and he was saved as have many others. The king couldn't do anything. But you know, it tells us in Luke 20:28, it tells that there were two guys. They suddenly became friends. They were political enemies, and they both were going in the wrong direction. And so they became friends. They were both going in the wrong direction. How sad. How sad. How sad. How sad. They yielded to the public opinion that Jesus should die. What did Jesus do? What did he do? Somebody mentioned it today in the meetings this morning, I believe. They said, they spit on him. They beat him above the head. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They lashed his back. He was bleeding. They nailed him to the cross of Calvary by his hands and feet. Then they raised that cross up between heaven and earth and settled it in the ground. What would you do if you'd been treated that way? Would you argue? Would you think that's right? I'm sure you don't. But Jesus did it for you. He said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Do you know what you're doing? Young people, children, I want to talk to you for just a second. You've gone to Sunday school. You've gone to young people's meetings. You've been to prayer meetings. You know it all. But the critical question is, knowing it all, have you ever come to the foot of the cross and said, "Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I need to have my heart cleansed." My father-in-law, Tom Neer, who's with the Lord, many years ago, we were visiting, we were there with the family, and while he was there, he went to the dry cleaners, and he put in his suit, and he said, "I'd like to pick it up tomorrow morning," and he went and picked it up, and on the suit was a piece of paper, pen, with a note, just like this. And the note said, the dry cleaner fixed it on his suit jacket and said, the note said, "I want Jesus to wash all my sins away." Oh, my boys. The dry cleaner saw it. He was able to clean the suit, but he wasn't able to wash sins away. That note got into the suit jacket by accident, but I think the Holy Spirit allowed it to be there so that the person who was cleaning the suit would read that. If I'm emotional about it, there's a reason for it. Because he accepted Jesus as a Savior. Because he wanted the dirt all washed away. You say, "Oh, you know, you're talking very simple things." Yes, that's true. But accepting Jesus as Savior is a very simple thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's a promise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. No matter what, good work, honest work will save you. But you need to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so I ask you, I beg of you, my friend, to think about that. If you're not saved tonight, you're in a very dangerous position, because before we hit the hour here, it could be that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. And this room is going to, I was going to say empty. Will it empty, or will you be left behind, my friend? Young boys, young girls, older people, Do you know Jesus as Savior? I can't, at the moment, think of anything worse than suddenly seeing the room empty. Don't get me. That's a fantasy.
All right. Well, you know, in God's Word, it tells us,
let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Those words he was saying to his friends.
God's Word tells us further. We read these verses often in the funeral.
The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with the Lord.
Shall caught up in the air to meet the Lord.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
And then the last verse says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Boys and girls,
what would you do if mommy and daddy suddenly weren't here? The room empty.
Are those words a comfort to your heart?
God has left them there for us, so that we can be comforted. Verse 8.
Verse 7.
The king was angry. He tore his clothes. He says, am I God? Am I God? There are men today, and some women too, who pretend to be God. They give some profound messages. But you know, some of them are not giving the truth of the Word of God. They're adding a little bit to it. You have to do certain things so that you can come to heaven. That is a lie of the devil. He's the father of all lies. And so in the 8th verse, as we were noticing, the king says, now when this letter comes unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman. And then as we've read, am I God to kill, to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? He couldn't do anything. There wasn't anything he could do. Leprosy was considered an incurable disease. The New Testament speaks about one man who was saved from leprosy. Well, we'll get into that in just a minute or two. This man knew his limitations. So does this man. I can't save you. You. I can't save you. I can't save you. But there's someone who can. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He can save you. And all you have to do is turn to him. Just like my son said, I want Jesus to wash all the dirt away. The dry cleaner could clean the suit, but couldn't clean his heart. He accepted Jesus as Savior. Well, when Elisha the prophet, a man of God, heard about what the king had done, he said, when Elisha the man of God heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. You know, Matthew tells us, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. If you're not saved, don't wait till the end of the meeting. The Lord Jesus hasn't come before the end of the meeting. Maybe we can reason with you and point you to the Scripture. This is critical stuff that we're talking about. We're living in a terrible world where sin abounds, where things that in my generation, earlier generation, people would blush, now they do it openly. You know what I'm talking about. It's all there. It's all there. It's all there. And you know it. You've seen it. You run into it just from driving down the street, billboards. The lusts of the eye is there. The desire of the flesh is being broadcast.
without any hesitation.
And the powers that be are limited as to how much is allowed. If the pressure is great enough, maybe a few things are stopped. But you know what's getting worse. And the Bible tells us we shouldn't be surprised in the last days, difficult times shall come.
Difficult times. You know, there's a lot of difficult times. I see them.
I see them.
Well, the... So finally, the Naaman, he gets on his chariot. Lovely chariot, a limousine, if you can put it that way. Nice horses. And his entourage. And he appears at the door of this man of God.
Making a great impression.
You see, lots of people like to make impressions. The Lord Jesus would like to make an impression on you and change you.
So he appeared in front of this door. And he stood at the door of the house of Elijah. What did Elijah do? This is a great guy. I mean, he's a major general. He's got medals all over him. Then you go out and say, oh man, did you ever do a great job in that war? And you defeated the enemy. And on and on and on. No, he didn't even... He didn't even leave his study.
Here's what he said.
He gave him a very brief prescription, which you can read. It's not scribbled like some doctors tend to scribble.
I shouldn't generalize because some of them have a great handwriting. But this was a very clear message.
Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Is
that difficult?
Oh, told him everything. He told him where to go. He gave the name of the river. He told him how to wash 7 times.
Very clear. Well, you know,
Jordan speaks to us. Death. And there's got to be the death of the flesh. You need to be born again. You can be born again by accepting Jesus as Savior. And when you're born again, you're part of the family of God. Just like Bryce come charging up the stairs from the downstairs from the Sunday school. The angels are having a party for me. Oh, the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. To think that the angels of God in heaven will rejoice for every sinner that comes to know Him as Savior. But you have to follow that instruction.
Well, you know, this guy wasn't... He was a mighty man. But he didn't have his emotions under control.
He was, it says, wroth. I think that's even worse than just anger. He was wroth. He was burning, grinding his teeth. And clenching his fist. He said, what's with this guy? He didn't even come out and wave his hands over me.
That's right, he didn't.
He told him how to be saved. I can't save you.
But the Lord Jesus can.
But you have to come. God's word tells us, come unto me, all ye that believe.
And are heavy laden, and I will, doesn't say I might, I will give you rest.
Would you like that rest?
Sometimes I get very tired. I'll tell you a little story. I'm retired and have been for a while, but you know, I was so tired working many, many long hours a day. Some of you are aware what that's all about. I was so tired that I even fell asleep in the dentist chair. One day my wife and I are coming home, tired. Put the brake on, hand brake, and I said to my wife, tell me when the light changed. I fell asleep talking. Next thing I know, there's horns blasting. My wife fell asleep too.
Tired. He wants to give you rest. He wants to give you rest. And he will give you rest. He can give it to you right now. Right this minute.
You can cry to the Lord.
Righteousness.
You don't have to wait till you get to your bedroom, kneel and pray. That's nice too. But you can accept Jesus as Savior right where you are sitting now. And quietly call to Him.
Tell them that you're a sinner, that you need to be saved, that you're bad, and that He wants, that you want your sins washed. Simple, simple. Well, the instruction here was simple. Go wash Jordan 7 times, and the promise He gives it, He says, here's the results. Thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. I haven't seen too many prescriptions from doctors that will add that last phrase. Take this, and you'll be cured. Works sometimes, sometimes it doesn't. But God, when He gives instruction, He carries it out to the end. Well, it tells us He went away. He expressed His thoughts. Behold, my thoughts! My thoughts! And that's the problem that a lot of us have. We think too much about these things, about how we can get around it, or how we can do this, that, or the other thing. Put your thoughts aside. Listen to the Word of God. Accept Jesus as your Savior. I thought He will surely come and do all these fancy things. And then He starts to negotiate. He starts to negotiate. He starts to argue a little bit. He says, what about the two rivers that are so nice and clean? There's the river called Abana. I believe it means stony. Maybe it refers to ritualism. When you have a stony river out in the Muskoka Lakes, we have beautiful clean water. You can see the rocks right to the bottom. You know, that's not faith. We had a river back in western, or at least in Manitoba, it's called the Red River. Put your hand in the water, 2 inches below the water, you couldn't see it. You don't know what's under there. And there were people that were probably saying, Jordan, this guy predicted, Jordan, with my leprosy, with my reputation, with my medals, with the victories I've won. Yep, Jordan. And it wasn't the prophet that was arguing with him. What about a man? Stony, ritualism. He said, what about Parker? It's a sweat, means swift. Oh, we like to see action, don't we? Swift. That's rationalism. You want to try and rationalize what Jesus did and why He did it? You ain't going to do it, my friend. You ain't going to do it. Pardon me for the bad grammar. It just won't work. I don't know why He saved me and not someone else somewhere else in another land. As some of you may know, I send out a message every day called Gems for My Reading. A couple of years ago, I received a message from a young man, and it was something like this. You will never believe where I am right now. I'm out behind in the armed forces. I'm buried in a trench. And there's bombs going off around me. There's guns being fired. But I got a message today on my cell phone here. And it was your gem. I just want to thank you for that. Because he said, I don't know, but I'm going to survive. I never heard from him again. Now, what a thrill that is. It reminds me of the little maid who said, gave a message. She was a little evangelist. Well, you know something? This man, fortunately, had some friends who were smarter than he was. They reasoned with him. Look, if he had asked you to go out and fight that, get that bunch of guys out there hiding in the bushes and annihilate them, and you would have done it. That would be much more difficult to do than to go and dip and join. I can just about hear them reasoning. Wash and be clean. Finally, he said, oh, well, I might as well do it. I guess it's a picture. Will you please pardon me if I extend this a little bit, a little dramatic? Just imagine saying, all right, I'll go. Some of us don't like to admit if we're wrong.
to admit that. But you've got to give him credit. So I'm going to do it. He went to that river. And he dipped in the river.
That's like works. Is works one of those dipping experiences?
He looked at his hands. They were just as white, as bad as they were before. He dipped again. Second time. And you know what? We might consider that to be, being popular. Is that going to wash your sins away? Would that do the job for Naaman? He looked at his hands. He looked at his body. They were still covered with leprosy. Sin was there. It needed to be dealt with. He thought of his riches as he went down the third time. Looked at his health. Still got my medals. Still got the money in my pocket. But I've also still got leprosy. Still got leprosy. He dipped down again. Fourth time. You know, I'm a smart man. I've done all these things. I've been able to maneuver. I've been able to do all these things that are necessary to get a victory in the army. Oh, that's a good quality. You need that. But the leprosy is still there. Four dips. Had he done what he was told to do? He went down again. You know something? There may be people here who have gone to church. That's not going to save you. But if you've gone to a church where the good news of salvation about Jesus Christ is being preached, that's good. But just the fact that you went down the street and went into the church, that's not going to save you. I had a brother-in-law who died a few years ago at 80. He had never, as the expression goes, darkened the church door. He didn't really want to participate in anything to do with Christianity. We had pled with him by letter. He lived quite a distance away. One day he was admitted to the hospital, and my sister called and said, "He's not going to make it. Good to me." He died. Finally heard some good news. He said, "It's all in the hands of the Lord," just the way Norm put it in the letter, or some such words. 80 years of age! Didn't have a chance to do very much. He was literally a newborn babe in Christ, but he was saved. But you have no guarantee that you're going to be able to wait till you're on your deathbed and have the opportunity of being saved. Ernie did. So anyway, Naaman said, "Well, I've been a pretty good man. I've gone to the synagogue," or whatever he went, probably not a synagogue, but some place where maybe God was mentioned or something was mentioned. Idolatry. Not good enough. He went down the sixth time. The leprosy was still there. Sin is still on him. Young people, children, you go to Sunday school tomorrow morning. There's going to be Sunday school here. Just being in Sunday school isn't enough. That's a wonderful thing to have, to see children sitting in the front rows and somebody giving them the gospel. But have you done something about it? Or have you just sung together, "Jesus loves me, this I know"? Beautiful song. It ain't good enough. He went down, came up, sixth time. Did he give up? The leprosy was still there. This dear man went down the seventh time. He did it in obedience to that which the prophet told him. He looked at his hands. "I'm clean! I'm clean! The leprosy is gone! And if you accept Jesus as Savior, your sins will be gone. They'll be removed, be removed as far as the east is from the west, buried in the deepest sea, removed forever, never to be brought to your attention. I had a young man that appeared before me while I was in working days, and he was appealing his case, and we were talking to him, and the security people said to me, "Well, you know, you're not going to like this, but this fellow's going to come in with two big guards, 6'6", 300 pounds, and they're going to have shackles on his legs, and he's going to have to be cuffed, and he's going to come here and present his case with his lawyer." I said, I don't want any security. I don't want any shackles. I don't want any tough meat, you see. I don't need any of that. He said, let me tell you, Norm, we don't agree with you. This man is tremendously strong. He's a good worker, but when he gets into some strong drink, he becomes extremely powerful. It took half a dozen police officers to subdue him. Thankfully, they didn't use any guns on him, but they had to subdue him. I said, "Well, all right, you guys are the experts in the field. I just hope that I can talk to him without you guys interfering." "Yeah, go ahead." So I talked to this man. First thing I did, I went over to him and shook his hand. "James." He smiled. I said, "We're not going to be wrong. Just tell me what your problem is." He did. "It took all maybe 10 minutes. I said, "Good. I hope you have a good day." I was able to do something for him. What I did, it's not important. I was able to do something for him. He was a bad guy. He was strong. I don't believe he knew the Lord Jesus as Savior and have an opportunity to speak to him. But you know, there was a way in which he could accept the truth, and that is by what the Word of God tells us, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. A couple of years ago, my neighbor Dave, who always walks his dog, beautiful collie dog, down the street, and he came over one day and said, "No, my wife just died." "My wife just died." Oh, I said, "Come on in, chat for a while." And he wanted me to do something for him with my computer. You know, computers are weird things. If you haven't found that out, I have. So anyway, he came in and we talked. He wanted some pictures. He said he had two pictures of his wife. No family. He said, "Would you print them for me?" I said, "Glad to do that." I said, "I'll send them to you in email." He came back about maybe a week or so later, and he says, "You know, Norm, I'm not much of a religious man, and these messages you're sending out to me are very nice, but I don't really..." I said, "What?" He said, "The stuff you send out to me." I said, "Dave, I'm sorry, but I don't know how that happened." "Well, I did, maybe. You know what computers can do. Sometimes they get away with you. But he was getting my chance. I don't know that he ever was ever saved. But about a week after this man's wife died, the neighbor right next to me was backing his truck out of his driveway, coming down the street. I waved him down. I said, "You know, Chris, that Dave's wife..." "Well, these two neighbors had not gotten along very well. He had some conflict. But he was very sore." I said, "You know, it's awfully important that when someone dies, that they're prepared, that they're ready to die." And I could tell the truck was going into gear. He said, "Oh, well," he said, "when I die, the papers, they'll do the paperwork and..." I said, "No, it's not. It's not all finished. It's not all finished." So anyway, I thought that would be the end of the story with Chris after having that conversation. But around Christmas time, I was cleaning out my walk, and... our time is gone. And anyway, he came over. He says, "Norm, you go to church?" So I said, "Yes, I do." "Yes, I do." "He said, you can do something for me?" I said, "What? Would you pray for me?" "It's my grandpa's dying. Would you pray for me?" I said, "I sure will. I sure will. Privilege to pray for him. I don't know that he's saved yet, but he has a different attitude." I was so glad that he felt that he could ask me about this. Just one quick point before we close. You know, while Elisha told him what to do, the man was violent and he was upset. God's word tells us, "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow."
But you know, this man came back and he confessed the Lord. He confessed to this man what had happened to him. His flesh was like the flesh of a baby. He was born again. He was saved. And he went on his way rejoicing. But first of all, he wanted forgiveness. Father said, I don't want anything. And you know something? Your gifts, or the gifts that you give for your salvation, are nonsense, useless, and unnecessary. This is a one-way gift that God is offering. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. This prophet had a servant. His name was Gehazi. He had been with him for many years. He saw all the things that the prophet had done. You read the earlier chapters. Well, a lot of things that he had done. But you know, after the man was sent away, he had seen the wealth of this man, this major general. God, his heart and his mind started to work. And after he got on the way, he went after him. He says, you know what? My master had two guys that came here and they need some money. Would you tell them? Take two. Take it all back. He came back. I'm rushing. When he came back, he went into where he put the stuff away that he'd gotten from this major general. And Elisha said, where have you been? Oh, I've been around. Where have you been? I saw you going after that man. I saw him stop and give you something. Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and all yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? That's your objective. Without Christ, it's nothing. It'll all be burned up and used up. Now, here comes the crunch. Last verse of that chapter, the leprosy therefore, Naaman shall cleave unto thee. And unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leprous way. So if you're going to leave here in your sins, you may never get another opportunity. God speaks once, God speaks twice, yet man perceives it not. He who often being reproved, hardened with his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. In fact, without remedy. Choice is yours. I can't make it be saved, and I certainly can't save you, but the Lord can. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Blessed God, our loving God, we thank you for thy word. Thy word, the Bible, has given us all the instructions that we need. We just pray that what is of thyself will be remembered. Not anything other than that. But if there's anybody that's debating as to whether they should say, our God and Father, we plead with thee that thou would cause that young person, that child, whoever they may be, they would be saved. Lord Jesus, we ask it in thy name. Amen. There was sin in the garden. Something had to be done. Jesus came into this world and he died to save sinners. Jesus was put into the grave. Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus is coming again. My friend, don't leave without accepting Jesus as Savior. In a couple of minutes, as we leave this room, it's going to get a little noisy. Maybe we should look around and see if anybody gets touched by the message that God gives in His Word. And if we can get involved, we would like to help you. But again, remember, it's between you and the Lord.